hopefully the technology work in 2016. Happy New Year to everyone, and welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. And what are we going to do this morning? We'll kind of mesh together most of the Sundays that I've been I wasn't able to speak. Let's see if this worked. How many of you are excited about 2016? Yeah? Okay. Let me try that again. Okay. Sometimes we are so consumed with the new year and the unknown and all the worries that 2016 will bring that we forgot the good things that God has done in 2015. Amen? Because 2015, the year, the past year, becomes a launching pad for us to move to the next year. Amen? And we need to see it that way. Otherwise, we'll be clouded and forget all the wonderful things that God has done. Amen? How many of you can look back 2016 and say, yes, yeah, yes, I've experienced God in 2015, even 2014, 2013 and 12. And many times we forgot that because we're overwhelmed with what's coming. Yeah? So let 2015 be a launching pad for us. Let's think of the good things that God has done, not only in our lives, in our families, but also for us corporately as the church. Last year, we talked about growth, remember? And we have grown. We've grown with a lot of babies. We are growing inwardly. And so, yay, daddies, you know, let's keep doing that. And also, new members who have joined us. We've seen that, we've witnessed that. We've grown in some area of mission. We've taken step out of faith. Members of this church has witnessed God's amazing provision and experience him in a new way as they step out to obey the conviction that God, the leading of God in their lives. And so that's all of us are included in that. We have better bring my tea. One of my Asian sister here from Indonesia. Pastor Joel, you need to try ginger and lemon and together. So I'm full of lemon and ginger. So, and also we remember missionaries who are out there. We also have guests that comes in and out. Those who come in the summer when we are traveling, and there are people who come here on the cruise ship. There are sailors who stop by Stavanger, and they come here. An opportunity for them to hear the good news and interact with people of God in the community of SSC. Remember that? Of course, you do remember that. They're not just here by accident. So we need to be grateful for those kind of stuff. And also, last year we had about, 40 Dutch youth. They were here with us. Out of nowhere, they just turned up to church. And also, we were able to farewell probably about less than 20 African government officials that were here with us. Remember that? Yeah? These were very influential, very key people, strategic in their government. South Sudan, Tanzania, and all over. And they come here and spend a few weeks here with us, impacted by the word and the fellowship and the interaction that's happening here in this place. And we're able to bless them and pray for them and release them. You remember that? Do you think that's just a coincidence that they're here? No. YWAM teams, we go through the book of Whisper. And we are still going through the book of Acts. And we are seeing and witnessing some of the stuff that God is doing. God is reminding us to remember and not forget, yeah, what he has done, and look forward to what he's going to do. Amen? That's exactly the song that we've been singing, that our God is greater. So today, as I was driving here, I know there's a theme there. It's good to come up with themes, let go and let God. This is my New Year sermon and word of encouragement, not only for you, but for me and my family. And this word kept coming up to me as I was driving and I'm sitting there. It is not over. It's not over. Not over until God says it's over. I know it's a statement you see in the poster there somewhere. But there's some truth about this. That whatever you are doing, whatever you are believing in God for, do not give up 2016. It is not over. There are many of us that are facing challenges different left and right, apart from all the glorious stuff that God is doing, wonderful things and promises that he have in our life. Remember that it is not over, that he who began the good work in you, yeah, he began, not you, not us, he. It's not to do with me or with anybody. It is God who began the good work. It's God who encountered you and I. It's God who transformed our lives. He, that person, he will finish it. Amen? So say to yourself, it is not over. It's not over. So today we'll look at I'm going to start a kind of dream of 2016. I think our motto is making disciple, preparing disciple for the next move. So what is the next move? So 2015 for SAT is reaching. Yeah? Reaching who? Reaching up. We cannot reach out anywhere until we reach up. And we reach in. And us. Not only us as individual, our own lives, but corporately, bringing us together. And what happens there goes out. We reach up, we reach in, and we reach out. We cannot reach out with something that without reaching up, without reaching in. Amen? And I believe God has a lot in store for us. But today I just want us to look at a fresh look. My wife and I, we've been meditating on some of the go back to Bible school, to Sunday school. So we've been looking at some of the great stuff in Sunday school. And we look at, as we reach up, every time when God calls people, we only focus on the calling. But we forgot and recognize the one who makes the call. Who is this person? What is the character of the one that calls you? Who is he? And many times we forgot him, you know, even though we're Christians. We forgot who he is. We focus on his calling in our lives, but we forgot this incredible person who said, I have called you, Joely. I have called you, Ezra. Yeah? That God in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And we look at some of the character of the person who calls. Who is this person? They says that he formed us. What is he like, you know? Let's remind ourselves that he is a powerful God that we sang today. Oh, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth with great power. And that's a... and that's an incredible encouragement for us to remember that God merely spoke and he created the Sunday school were having this last Sunday as their first lesson. What did God use to create the world? Nothing. Okay, that's good. Did he have a hammer? Did he have a tool? What tools did he use? So maybe some of us need to sneak into the Sunday school and see how they respond. Yeah. And all the combined energy and the force of nature can't even come close to the power of the God that calls you and forms you. And another thing that we know about this powerful God is that he longs to exhibit the power in us. So we walk in his power, in his enablement. David writes in Psalm chapter 8, verse 32, he said, when I look at the night sky and see your work, your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what is man? Who am I that you should think of? Me, a human, that you should care for? In the midst of all God's power is his incredible love and care for us. So when God speaks to Ezra and say to Ezra, I love you, my son, there is no power and no force in the universe that can change that. Yeah? And that guy, when he said, I love you, that's it. Nothing can change. No one can even manipulate God to change his ways or his thoughts towards us. God is a powerful God. Amen. So he can help us with anything. God is, he knows everything. I thought Google knows everything. God knows everything. So we can go to him with our questions, our frustrations, and our concerns. We can bring it to God. Amen? God knows the answer to all questions of life. God knows about me more. Even before we were born, he knows us. King David writes, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything. And you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment, you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too great for me to know. When we face our challenges, we can be encouraged and be encouraged to know that God understands what we are going through. He knows all the pressures. He knows all the problems. He knows all the panic. Amen. Jeremiah 2. 29 verse 11, it said, for I know the plans for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. So God knows everything about our situation, and he wants to help us. Amen. And God is faithful also. God is faithful, so we can trust him always, and he will keep his promise. And that is something that, excuse me, God is faithful to protect you and to protect us from all temptation. God is faithful, and he will keep the temptation becoming strong in us. He's faithful in our lives. He's faithful in our promise. He's faithful in little areas in keeping us, preserving our lives so we will walk right. God is faithful also to his promises in us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, he says, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope that we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Amen? God is ready and able all the time to deliver us the things that he promised us. O Lord Almighty, where is there anyone as mighty as you? Faithfulness is your very character. God doesn't make an effort to love us or to be strong or to be all-knowing. He is faithful. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. And we've heard this many times. But many times we feel like that we need to hear it again. Amen? And be reminded in our spirit, in our soul, who is with us. God is merciful. We fail all the time. We make mistakes. We may say things that is not nice, whether to our wives or husband or the people or our loved ones. And sometimes it's hard to let go. But we know that God, he is faithful. He is merciful. And he forgives our sin. He promised he will forgive our sin. He will cleanse us. He will make us right. He is a God of reconciliation. And that's why he sent his son in the first place, for us to be reconciled back with him, with one another, and with our own self. God is merciful. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us in the time of our need. As Christians, we do fall. We do make mistakes. We are going to make, I remember one day, I was many years ago, I was sitting alone and complaining. I'm tired of making mistakes. And I said, Lord, why do you still love me with all the mistakes that I've done? I said, well, Joel, you will just have to learn in a big way, you know. And it's a reminder for us that none of our mistake is greater than the mercy of God. God never changes. What does that mean? It means that our future is secure in him. It's hard to fully grasp this when we are going through life changes right now. Amen? It's hard to say that God, you are, you never change. But what about my future? You know, what about my work? What about this? And it's reality that we live in this time. His mercy never changed. His character never changed. As we have seen, God doesn't change his thought. And no one can manipulate God to change his thoughts or his promises towards us. And that's the thing. The Lord's plan, Psalm 33 verse 11, says the Lord's plan stand firm forever. His intention can never be shaken. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, the Lord's plan stands forever. Stand firm forever. His intention can never be shaken. God's plan is unchangeable. God doesn't panic. He doesn't scratch his head. Okay, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? There's never been a time in history when God put his hand here. Okay, what am I going to do? His plan It says in Hebrew that Jesus is what? Is the same today and forever. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And that's quite a statement to comprehend in our finite mind. Because God's plan for us existed long ago. Yeah? It's not just an afterthought. God loves us. His love for us is not going to be changed by situation. He is unconditionally committed to us. Amen? Unconditionally. There is nothing that I can do more to gain God's favor more for me and for you. He loves us. He's committed to you. And he wants our life to live a successful life, to live in his promise. Amen? God is the source of all love. It flows out, and it never runs out. Every reservoir runs out. They have dry season. The love of God, it says that the mercy of God is mercy. They are new every morning. It never runs out. Kept coming. Kept flowing. Kept flowing. His love is unconditional. As I said before, it's not based on what good we have done. I have made a lot of mistakes in my life. It doesn't mean that God loved me less now. You know, keep off all the wrongs, and I have to reach a certain area in my spiritual life for, aha, now you have an award. I love you more here and here. So walk around with all this medal of favor. God loves me more than you. No. His love is unconditional. He loves you the way you are. And sometimes we know that God loves. We handle and we receive his love. But it is hard for us to love ourselves the way God loves us. To treat ourselves the way God treats us. To think of ourselves the way that our Father thinks of us. You're saying, oh, what are these messages for 2016? Why don't we bring some strategic plans for us to do this and win the world and take Stavanger? We cannot do that without the love of God. Because his love compels us. His love is the motivating factor. When I receive this unconditional love of God, it compels me to tell others to experience the same love that I have experienced now. The same forgiveness that I have experienced, that I can extend that to others. That was drive us to reach out to our community, to reach out to each other, to be willing. You have no idea over the years how many letters of restitution I've written and phone calls to ask forgiveness to those that I've disappointed and hurt, to my family over the years. Because I love them. And that's what love is. And it is that. I said, wow. That my nearly all my family are Christians. They've seen the bad teenager. But and at the same time, God loves us. We don't need to be a very bad person. We don't need to grow up in a very dangerous circumstances so God can save us and then redeem us. Ah, no, I know. I think the greatest love and miracle of all is when we know, no matter what background we come from, when we know and receive the truth of his love and his mercy over our lives. Amen. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are just talking about reaching up now. It's still reaching up. Reaching in is when we grab hold of this and make it ours. And say to ourselves, yes, I am a servant of God. Yes, God has called me. Yes, I know who my Father is. Yes, I know who I serve. Yes, I know who called me. Philippians 1:6 says, I am confident with this. Why is he confident? Because he knows the person. Yeah? That he who began the good work in us will carry it into completion until that day. This is a year. This year is not about holding back. This year, I believe some of us need to experience some of this that we're talking about. Maybe we've experienced them before. But maybe God wants us to experience a part of him we have never experienced. Reaching in. Let me just tell you a story. I said this to Seth and Joseph because it was snowing. In 1999, my housemates, I think I've shared this story before, but I just want to bring it as an illustration. you know, everything that you've done, sometimes we think, okay, God has called me. So we think that our calling is we have to become missionaries somewhere. That our education and our degree and all the background that we come from is invalid and more. Your upbringing, every journey you make, your education, your upbringing, whatever, are all part of God's preparation for the call that he has for you. Amen? You never leave anything out, but they are all part of God equipping you and training you. So I remember we were, my roommates, well, ministry in the inner city in Portland, Oregon, and they are all extreme sports junkie. I thought I play rugby; it was tough. But these guys, they climb mountains. You know, they scale from here to there, rock climb. You know, yeah, I'm scared of heights. And then, oh, Julie, we need to take you to Mount Hood. Mount Hood is the tallest summit in the state of Oregon. And I on our house. We can look and we can see far away the summit. And so they train me. Oh, don't worry, you know. And I've seen documentaries of people climbing Mount Everest and they fall down and they were never found for 15 years and 20 years or something. You know, it freaked me out. I said, I don't want to go there. And so, come on, you should try. So we went. So a few weeks we were training, you know, and then 12 o'clock, midnight, we started to climb up Mount Hood. I look very cool, but not cold, but cool. Because I have all this gadget and helmet, and I have my axe ready, my crampon, you know. I'm ready to climb this mountain. I'm going to tell everybody in Fiji. I went up to the mountain and, you know, oh, you climbed up the mountain, Joel. So anyway, so we went up, about 12 of us. We have rope on each other, and we're on this mountain. We have to probably ascend nearly 4 hours just going up, but less than that. And there is this huge ski slope that goes a very long way. You can see during the day, but not in the evening. And so as we hike up, we have a track. And these are soggy, soft snow. And you miss your step, you're stepping on ice. One wrong move, you're gone. And then also we were climbing up And I'm thinking of all the videos and documentary of National Geography, Mount Everest. Oh, Jesus, 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 I love you. We are good. I know you have a promise in my life. So we were going up, and you're not going to cut it short today, you know. So we went up, and then we reached the end of the slope. And we're about to ascend to the summit, which takes probably 2 more hours. And pain on my back. I couldn't walk anymore. And then I said to them, listen, because I'm slowing them down. I said, man, all these documentaries is gonna come real. So I said, you guys go. I really can't go. I said, okay, Joely, you can either find yourself down. I have my lights and everything. Or you can wait here for us. What I am clothed in is only enough to climb up and down, not to stay and sit for hours in the snow. So they went up. Soon as they disappeared, it was just empty. You know, so I picked my water bottle, and I kind of laid, I was trying to put it in my, and it fell. Hit the ice, it was gone. It went down that slope like nothing, disappeared in darkness. And all this imagination was gone. But one biggest thing that came to my mind, you know, with all this, okay, I'm already scared of height. I said, what am I doing here? Why did I say yes? You know, so I'm sitting there, but suddenly a thought came to my mind. I wonder how God will deliver me. There is no way. I couldn't even find any way that he could, if I tried to walk down, you know, there's a dark-skinned guy sliding down the ice. They will find the body next morning. And I'm sitting there. And I want the Lord, you know, he's heard my cry. I sit there, and then suddenly, in the distance far away, I saw flickering light. I was watching. I tried to sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, you know. I didn't fly and then go down. Nothing happened. But I was saying, Lord, how are you going to deliver me? And I waited. And I saw these lights flickering. Slowly, it becomes clear light, you know. And I was watching this thing. You know, I wish I could, like, you know, from up there. But it was coming straight. Slowly, the lights get bigger, and after a long wait, the light was about 10 meters away from me. And this was the ice, this ice grating machine. So what they do, they will smooth the ice during the night for the skiers that will come the next day. And this guy was coming up and saw this Fijian guy sitting up there on the snow alone, you know. Not, but Jesus, help me, you know. It was not somebody meditating up there in the Himalayas. Doesn't look like it. So he just came out and he did his flashlight. And I walked down about a few meters, jumped inside this ski thing, gave me coffee. No conversation, nothing. So went back down, back to the slope, and I went to the resort ski, sit down on the lounge, the fireplace with the ski there, and I was still tripping. Well, the next day I woke, you know, the sun is up, I look at the Mount Hood. This mountain was looking at me, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. You didn't overcome me, Joely. And I saw this a group of Japanese hikers, they're going up. So I decided I won't leave this place. I need to punch this mountain in the face and say, I did it, yeah. And so, but have you ever feel stuck? That we are stuck somewhere and we don't know what to do, where to turn. In a moment like that, I wonder how God will save me, will deliver me from this situation. David says in Psalm 61, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call out to you." For me, it was on that mountain. I call out to you. And he said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my enemy." In Psalm 18, verse 6, he said, "In my distress, I call to you, O Lord." How many of us do this? How many of us find time to come to a place where we're sitting, don't know where to turn, and we begin to pour out our hearts to the Lord? Do we do that, or we just think of other options, way out, and try to spend our energy thinking of that? Sometimes we just need to, this is the reaching in part, that we just need to sit and be still before God. "In my distress, I call to you, O God. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came before him into his ears." That's amazing, yeah? Verse 30, "As for God, his ways is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure." Amen? That's reaching in. "I am confident that he who began the good work in you will carry it into completion." Reaching out. God called us. He said, "You are my witness." Not all of us will be preaching. Not all of us will be will go for missionaries somewhere. Not all of us will do the church stuff. But we are all called to be his witness. Amen? We are all called. That's why I said, "You are my witness, declares the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen." That's you and I. Whether it's in your workplace, whether even sometimes we think, okay, when I'm really, really, really ready, then I will make myself available for God. When this situation and trials is all over, then I can be used of God. Sometimes the most powerful testimony and witness you have is exactly where you are now and how we trust God in whatever circumstances we are. Seeing his faithfulness, seeing his mercy, witnessing his love. Those things are what we are going to give out to others in reaching out. Reaching out. I'm going to end with this wonderful verse. Many of us have been, last year, we've been looking at the book of Acts. And here is a church, again, I've talked about this, but I want to bring it again in this new year. And the church in Jerusalem, after the day of Pentecost, they've experienced all this wonderful thing that God is doing. Many people are coming to the Lord, and then the miracles start happening, and then suddenly persecution begin to take place. And they, disciples, been warned by the religious leaders and the authority. Stop preaching the name of Jesus. If you do that, then you will be in trouble. So Peter and John came and told the church in Jerusalem. And he said to them, this is what the authority has told us. Yeah? So it was a threat to their faith. To the spreading of the gospel. Did they give up? Did they panic? No. After they heard the threat from Peter and John, let me just read that quickly. We're going to end on this. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all that the chief elders have said. They heard this. He said, when they heard this, they raised their voices. Soon as they heard of the threat and the things that are coming, that are building up against them, they declared together, Sovereign Lord. They didn't say, what are we going to do? How are we going to pray? What shall we do? Where shall we run to? The first thing they did was proclaim the sovereignty of God. They reach up to God. And they begin to pray. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea, God, and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servants. And they began to declare what God did. And that's where they were at this time. They even said that you even use your own enemy to carry out your plans without them knowing it. And they said, after they focus on God, they begin to bring their need to him. Lord, they said in verse 29, remember the threats that's upon us. And enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. So in the midst of the threat, they ask God, give us boldness. And second, they said, they praised it. You, God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles and signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. Verse 31 said, and after they pray, the place where they meet was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Amen? That is our prayer for SIC for this year, that we will continue to pursue, to reach up and reach in with one another and reach out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We're just going to take a moment of silence. Maybe there are people here who want to take time for you to pour out your heart, to pray to God. And just before we end here, there are people that need prayer today. You can come up after the service and we'll pray for you. Father, we want to thank you that your word will not fade away. We thank you that you encourage us, not by persuasive words, but the truth of your word. Remember us. Give us boldness, as the early church pray, that you will continue to reach out your hand and perform signs and wonders and miracles on our behalf. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.